The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I not been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, today is Mother's Day, and if the children were here, I'd have you stand on stage, point to your mother and say, "I love you," and then I'd have you point to your dad and say, "Good job of picking Mom." But since you're not, we can all do this at home, so I don't know where your mother is, but if you can, hug her, or tap her on the shoulder, or look at her and give her a thumbs up, and now look at your dad and say, "Hey, good job of picking Mom." So today, when Pastor Tim was reading the gospel lessons, there's something that jumped out at me. Just like any time Pastor Tim is speaking from the Bible or giving a sermon, something always jumps out at me that he says. Today, as he was reading the gospel lesson, here's what jumped out at me. Verse 2, Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If this were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" So I want you to picture Jesus in heaven, and he's building God's mansion. And inside this mansion, there's a room. Jesus says there are many dwelling places, which means there are many, many, many rooms inside of it. Who are the rooms for? I don't know. I mean, I know, but I'm just not going to tell you yet. Jesus goes on to say, "If this were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" So here, Jesus is giving and showing his authority, because he's saying, whatever I say is happening, I'm going to make happen. So whatever I say something, I'm going to do it. I'm not just going to say something and not do it. For instance, a couple weeks ago at Easter, Jesus had told everybody, "I'm going to go, you can't follow me, and when I go and die, the temple will be raised back 3 days later." And people were confused and said, how could Jesus tear down a temple and build it 3 days later? But they missed that they were talking about him. So in this verse, Jesus is saying, "I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, a room for you in my Father's house. And because I'm going to go do that, I'm going to come back and eventually get you." So right now, we're in the middle of the Easter celebration. And fast forward 2020 years later, we ask ourselves the question, where is Jesus? Are we still waiting for him? What's taking him so long? Why is he not back here yet? Well, this verse in the Bible gives us some clues. So where is Jesus? He's in heaven. And what is he doing? He's building a house in God's, or he's building a mansion for God and he's building rooms inside that house. And who's he building those rooms for? All of the followers of Jesus Christ. So all of us who go to church, who obey Jesus, who were baptized, who confess our sins, and take Holy Communion, we're all followers of Christ. So where is Jesus now? And what's taking him so long to come back? Well, I like to think, because of this Bible verse of the way Jesus says things, I like to think Jesus is building the room, and that's what he's doing right now. So that's what's keeping him from coming back. When Jesus is done building all the rooms and the very, very, very last room, that's when Jesus is going to come back. And when Jesus comes back, then this is what he says in verse 3. He says, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." And that's the important word. "I'm going to come again, and I will take you myself, so that you are going to be where I am, and I'm also going to be where you are." So now Jesus says very clearly, "I've prepared a place for you, and I'm going to come back." And this is very, very wonderful news for all of us. Because all of us who are believers in Christ, we're not just going to die and be resurrected and just hang out and be like floaty ghosts in heaven. No. We have a room, and we have a house, and we have an owner of the house, that is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And so, before Pastor Tim read the gospel lesson, we had Miss Peyton read a scripture from Acts. And inside of it, there's a man named Stephen. And if I can reread it, it says, "Filled with the Holy Spirit," ooh, the Holy Spirit, "Stephen gazed into heaven," and who does he see? Stephen looks into heaven, and he sees God. And then on God's right side, he sees Jesus Christ standing next to him. So, in that very moment, Stephen was taken up to heaven. He was about to die, and Stephen gets taken into heaven, and he forgives all the people who stone him to death. It's a very brutal lesson, but Stephen shows forgiveness, just like Jesus showed forgiveness. Stephen shows belief, just like the thief on the cross showed belief, and Stephen is going to be rewarded by going to heaven, just like me and you are, for believing in Jesus Christ. So, don't worry where Jesus is. Believe in Jesus, because Jesus is right now in heaven, as we speak, building a house for you. And, like always, every Sunday, there is a video version of what I'm saying on our Facebook page. Today's video version, if you could go click on it and watch it, because at the end of the video, there is an arts and crafts section, and inside of it, me and you will be building a paper house that represents God's mansion. So if you can, at 10 a.m. or whenever you get a free chance today, go click on the video, build the paper house, and next week, if you come back, I would like to see your paper houses so I can hang them up on the walls in the basement. God bless you. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The gospel lesson that we read this morning is one that's probably fairly familiar to you if you come to funerals, because many times at funerals, this is the one that is read, because it is a very comforting passage. It is also appropriate for that because of the context of this gospel lesson that we read this morning. The context is that it was on the night in which he was betrayed. This is in the midst of Jesus, his last time with all of his disciples gathered together for the Last Supper. And he wants to give them final instructions. He also wants to comfort them. He also wants to prepare them for what is still yet to come. And so he says that, "I will be leaving you. I'm going to my Father's house, and I'll be preparing a place for you as well there." At funerals, a lot of times we ask questions. Why did this happen to me? Or why did this happen to this person who has died? Here in our gospel lesson today, if you noticed, there's actually quite a few questions right here in this gospel lesson. I think I counted 5 or 6 different question marks in here. Some of those questions were asked by Jesus to help bring them along, to help them to understand. And then many of the questions are also asked by the disciples then too. At a time of stress or a time of conflict, there's always questions that are asked. Again, At funerals, people ask why. Why now? Why did it happen to this person? We may be asking these questions right now, too, as we go through this pandemic in this world. Why did this happen? How did this get released into the world? Why is this? Where is God in the midst of this? Why are we having to follow all these procedures? Why is everything being shut down? Why does the economy have to be shut down? Where is God? Why is this happening to us? I can't answer all those questions. A lot of times a why question is a good question to ask, but it's a question that we need to think through. Also, we need to rely upon God. You think about what the disciples were going through at this time when Jesus was speaking to them. Like I said, this is on that last night that Jesus has all his disciples together. They know something is going to happen, and it does. In just a few hours, Jesus is arrested. It's a stressful time. The disciples know the climate. They know that the Jewish leaders are angry at Jesus. They know that it's a dangerous situation, and they are fearful. And so Jesus brings these calming words. Do not be afraid, because Jesus is still there in their midst. And even if he goes away, he is coming back again. For us too, we are in somewhat a stressful situation. Maybe it's fearful for some people. Some people are just angry that all this is taking place. It's a stressful time, but we need to remember to hear these words of Jesus, these words of comfort, these words of peace, these words of reassurance, these words that Christ will be with us always. A key part in this passage is that connectedness of how the Father is in, or Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus. And then that connection that he puts then too with the disciples. If you know me and have seen me, you have seen the Father. And then too. In a week and a half, Thursday a week, we celebrate the Ascension, where Jesus ascends into heaven. And as he's going up, in the words of Matthew's gospel, he tells the disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always till the end of the age." We are connected to Jesus. Jesus calls us to himself in our baptisms. We are baptized. We are washed clean. We are tied to that cross and that resurrection. And we are given these promises that yes, we will be forgiven of our sins. Yes, we will be raised to new life, just as Jesus was raised to new life. We are connected. Right now, it seems as if we are disconnected. Here in church, there's just a few people here, and we're all scattered out. Many of you are at home, and you're scattered out from family and from friends. People are want to see their parents, but it's hard to go see aging parents, even if they are at home. And if they are in nursing facilities, then you are not allowed to go see them personally. It is difficult at this time. We can't gather together and have a big barbecue. We can't gather together and have a wedding reception or even a meal after a funeral. We seem disconnected. We seem apart. We seem separated from one another. But at the same time, Jesus stays connected with us. He is within the Father. The Father is within him. And we are with Christ. Jesus gives this promise that he is going ahead of us to build a mansion. And with that, he will build many dwelling places or many rooms or many houses for all the believers who were there. And that is a promise that we will all be together once again, celebrating once again. But this is not only about the time when we go up to heaven. This story as well, these words of Jesus as well, is for now. It is for us who are living now that as we believe in Christ, as we have trust in God, as we have patience as the Holy Spirit gives us. These words give us life now. They give life abundantly now, because we know that no matter what happens to us, whether we can't see friends, we can't see family, whether our family member or friend or even ourselves contract this disease, Christ is still with us and will lead us through this. This passage is read at funerals a lot of times to bring that comfort and peace to people who need to hear that God is with us and that we have a place for God. God has not abandoned us, but God is right here with us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.